Hi, this is Ken Savacco, the pastor here at Rogers Assembly, and I just want to thank you for joining our audio podcast today. I hope that this message makes you feel connected, that it allows you to grow in your faith, and it helps you understand that God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
We have a verse of Joshua's calling, but also the Lord's comforting words to him in his calling. And if you guys have your Bibles, you can read along with me, or the words will be on the screen behind me. Joshua 1:5 says this, says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life." Now, that's a fabulous promise. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. And so in Joshua 1:5, we have unlocked God's purpose for the life of Joshua. And God starts revealing his plan unto Joshua in this one verse through three different things. First, God establishes covenant promise with Joshua. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor I will forsake you. And so God always begins a calling with a covenant promise. He's saying to Joshua that I am going to be with you and nothing can stand against you. And I want you to know today, church, that the same covenant promise that God gave Joshua is good for you and me in our lives. That the same covenant, the same promise that God told Joshua way back in Joshua 1:5 is true for you and me today. That God says to us that no one will be able to stand against you. No one. It doesn't matter the size of the obstacle that's in our life. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So it doesn't matter what the name of the giant is in front of you. No one will be able to stand against you. It doesn't matter the obstacle. It doesn't matter the size of the mountain. It doesn't matter what tool in Satan's toolbox of all his tricks in hell that he's going to pull out to use upon you. God's word tells us that nothing will be able to stand against us all the days of our life. See, no, it doesn't matter what Satan tries, he's already been defeated. We have the King of all kings that has a written guarantee of our success that he gives us. That N-O-T-H-I-N-G will be able to stand against us. That's nothing for those of you that failed first grade. Nothing. So it doesn't matter if it's cancer. It doesn't matter if it's addiction. It doesn't matter if it's anger or self. It doesn't matter if it's sickness or greed or a lack of wealth. It doesn't matter if it's rage or careless or poor health. Nothing will be able to stand against us all the days of our lives. It's because God's presence is with us. God says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. As I was with Moses as a child, guiding him from the hand of destruction, so will I be with you. As I was with Moses as he was maturing and as he was growing in his understanding and in his faith, so will I be with you. As I was with Moses in the land of his enemies, so will I be with you. As I spoke to Moses face to face like a man does this with his friend, so will I be with you. As I was with Moses and allowed Moses to perform miracles and to do wondrous things through, in the land of opposition, in the land of his enemies, so will I be with you, because I'm laying down covenant promise with you that as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Oh, you guys feel like having some church today? God, this is powerful when we grasp that all of God's promises that he gave to his people are for all of us. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Therefore, I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter where you run, I will be there. It doesn't matter where you try to hide, I'm going to be there. It doesn't matter if you turn left, I'm going to be there. It doesn't matter if you turn right, I'm going to be there. It doesn't matter if you have good times, I'm going to be there. It doesn't matter if you have bad times, I'm going to be there. It doesn't matter if you're in times of wealth, in times of strength, or if you're in times of weakness, I'm going to be there. For I am convinced that death nor life nor angels or demons nor present or future nor heights or depths or anything in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so the Lord establishes his covenant with his people. And he's establishing his covenant with Joshua in Joshua 1:5. And it leads him to a command. Covenant always leads to a command. And he says, Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. Because the road that you have ahead of you will not be the easiest road. You're going to need to be strong and you're going to need to be courageous. The road is going to be bumpy, so be strong and be courageous. The road is going to have curves in it, and it's going to have mountains, and it's going to have rivers that you're going to have to cross, and it's going to have treacherous times when you wish you were on an easier road and you wish you were on an easier path. But you only need to do two things: be strong and be courageous. So when you're facing giants, be strong and be courageous. When you're facing mountains, be strong and be courageous. When you're facing situations in your life that will cause you to fall to your knees and weep out to God, be strong and be courageous. When you feel like you're failing miserably and you feel like a failure, and you feel like giving up, and you feel like giving in, and in your moment of weakness, the Lord says two things: be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous, because if you follow my commands, you will realize what I've been calling you to all along. You will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. You will go into a land of promise. See, you stand upon the covenant of God and you obey his command. You will inherit the promise that God has for you. And so Joshua's road started him out to inherit the promised land. And a few weeks ago, we looked at the very first obstacle that he had in his way was Jericho. Jericho was a very fortified city. It was well established. It was a stronghold of the enemy. Nothing went into the city and nothing came out. And God developed a plan for the children of Israel that involved four things. It involved them moving from a place of prayer to a place of position. Joshua 6:2 tells us that the Lord said to Joshua. And so we understand that listening to God is really the beginning of our journey. We have to learn to listen to the voice of God in our lives. Listen when we listen to God, he adjusts our position. And God was telling Joshua, if you listen to me, I am going to let you know the plans that I have for you. No longer are you going to wander in wilderness. No longer are you going to wait and wonder, when is my promise coming? If you listen to me, I want you to know that today is the day that I'm going to deliver your enemy's stronghold into your hands. And today is the day that you're going to reach your promise. Today is the day that I'm going to come through. If you learn to listen to the voice of God, he will reposition you to where you need to be. We also learn that praying paves the way for God to reposition our lives, just like, positioning leads our way for God's presence in our lives. We understood that the very first thing that Joshua did was he moved the Ark of the Covenant to the front of the line. See, you can position yourself all you want, but if you do not take God's presence with you, it's all for naught. You have to go with God's presence. And when Joshua was moving the Ark of the Covenant to the front and he was surrounding it with all the armed soldiers, Joshua was making a declarative statement in his life that we are not going to progress. We are not going to move forward. We are not going to assemble. We are not going to attack. We are not going to overcome without God's presence going first and going before us. So listen to me, church, today. If we are ever going to step into a place that God has promised us, we will never, ever get there without his presence. His presence leads us into those places of promise. That's how we win in our lives. That's how we overcome. That is how we succeed. Because it is not by our might, and it's not by our own power, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord. That's how we move forward. We understand that God's presence paves the way for our praise. Praise is a natural reaction to his presence. When God's presence shows up, we can't help but praise. See, we praise not because the pastor tells us to, not because everyone else is doing it, but we praise God because of who he is. We praise God because of his goodness and his faithfulness and his kindness and his gentleness. We praise God not because we were blind and now we see, but because we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, and now God has made us alive in him through Christ Jesus. That's why we praise, because once we were dead and now we're alive. That's something to praise God about. So we praise God because of his presence in our lives, because of what he's done in our hearts that has transformed us. And our praise paves the way for God's presence. When they marched around the final time of Jericho, and they let out that shout of praise, we talked about this, that it would not mean gibberish, that it was just not a shout of anger or a shout of rage, that it was just not some random noise you make at a football game. But we understood this, that it would be a shout of praise. It would be a joyful noise before the Lord. And that day, it was their worship that brought the walls down. Their worship brought the walls down, not their weapons. And so they victoriously reached the promised land, and they defeated Jericho, and they were jubilant. They were partying. They were excited. This was a good day to go to church. They were shouting like the Browns won the Super Bowl. And you guys have been saving up that praise for years. And then they set their eyes on a little town called Ai. An itty-bitty little town way over there. And they learned a very, very harsh lesson that not only did they bring victory into the promised land, but they also brought pain into the promise with them. And they suffered a very, very terrible defeat in this little small village called Ai. So the Israelites thought, you know what, it's just a nitty-bitty town. We don't need to send our full forces. We're just going to go over there, and we're going to overcome the city with just a portion of our resources. And they got trapped in the idea of thinking that yesterday's anointing was good enough for them today. They got trapped in the idea of thinking that we can do things halfway and still get the same results. They got trapped in this idea of thinking that we can still carry sin with us and still have the power of God's holiness with us. And so they attacked a little itty-bitty town called Ai, and they suffered their first and only defeat, and 36 men died on the battlefield that day. 36. 36 children lost their fathers that day. 36 mothers lost their sons. 36 wives became widows. It was a high price to pay. And the Lord revealed to them, and the Lord spoke to Joshua, and it revealed himself. And he said, this is the reason why you guys suffered loss. This is the reason why you guys are going through pain. One, you never consulted me. You just went straight for Ai. You chose to do things in your own way rather than seeking my direction first. See, you didn't even take my presence, the Ark of the Covenant, with you into battle. You were not walking by faith. You were walking by your own strength. And on top of all of that, you had sin in the camp. And so God gives Joshua the order to make an incredible summons to the people. And it's not a good summons. It's like getting called into the principal's office. And God tells Joshua to line up everybody. Line them up by tribe. And we're going to weed it out one by one. And so they pick this tribe. And they picked this clan, and then they picked this family, and they whittled it all the way down to one person by the name of Achan. And Achan at that time, with nowhere else to run, finally comes clean and says, you know what? In Jericho, we were supposed to burn everything to the ground, but I did not. I took some of the plunder, and it's in my tent. I have kept some things that were supposed to be consecrated to God. And we learned a few weeks ago that you cannot bring things that were meant for destruction along with you in your relationship with God. You just can't do it. You cannot bring sin with you in your relationship with God and expect to not face penalty for it. I know that's not a popular thing to preach here, but it's truth. Amen. And so when one person sins in the family of God, it affects everyone. See, when you mess up one part of the recipe, the whole cake suffers. And so there's a terrible sentence that's pronounced. Achan, you messed up. So they gather Achan, and they gather his wives, and they gather his kids. They gather all of his distant relatives, and they put Achan in the middle, along with his livestock, and they stone him. And they kill him. And then they take all of his possessions and they burn them. Now, I don't know about you, that'd be a pretty bad day at church. And so today, all of that was my introduction for what I really want to talk to you today about. So you guys thought I was preaching. That was just introduction. How do I pick myself up after devastating loss? Where do I go when the wheels just fell off of everything? How do I move on after we have made such a mess of everything? Do you realize that day that Pastor Joshua had an incredible success planting First Assembly of God of Jericho? And then when he went to launch little satellite campus, AI, it was terrible. It was so bad that he not only had to fire staff pastor Aiken, he had to kill him. Now, we have a couple of people that work here at the church, and occasionally Connie will have a typo in the bulletin. It'd be a sad day if I have to fire her over that typo. But how bad would it be? I know we're looking for Connie. I think she's counting. How bad would it be if one day I had to just come in and kill her? Connie, things have gotten so bad. Today is your day. We just got to axe you from existence. That would be a very, very, very bad day when you have to kill somebody because of the sin and because of the things that are in the camp. So Joshua probably wasn't having one of his best days of ministry on that day. And he had to feel defeated and depleted. December 7th, 1941. I don't even have to say anything more. It's a day that will live in infamy. We all know what happened on December 7th, 1941. The attack on Pearl Harbor. But it lives in the back of our mind in infamy because it was a bad, bad day. And I want you to know that we all have days of infamy in our own lives. We all have seasons of infamy where the wheels have fallen off and we've made such a mess of things. And we don't know where to go. We don't know how to proceed. Maybe it was a divorce that was so ugly that you thought, I don't even know how to move on. I don't even know where to go. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know how to feel again. I don't even know how to love. Maybe it was a job loss, another job loss. And you're wondering, am I just destined to live paycheck to paycheck, barely scraping by? Maybe it was a miscarriage when you've been trying to have a baby for so long. I mean, how do we recover from some of the deepest, darkest places in our lives? So real quick today, I understand time's getting late. I want to share with you. The title of my message says, defeat does not mean defeated. Defeat does not mean defeated. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 8. And I want to look at what God tells Joshua, a man that is in defeat, a man that is hurting. I want to look at what the Lord tells him next. Joshua chapter 8. And I'll start reading at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves, set an ambush behind the city. Today I want to look at three lifelines when you feel defeated that will let you know that defeat is not permanent, that it is only temporary, and defeat does not mean defeated. And the very first lifeline that I want to look at today is to come back to your calling. Come back to your calling. The very first thing that God says to Joshua is, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. It's funny, but I think I've heard that somewhere before. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It's direct from Joshua 1:5. It's direct from his initial calling. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So be strong and courageous. And the Lord was calling Joshua back to his calling. Come back. And when we're hurting and when we're devastated and we feel like a failure and we feel like we just blew it, the Lord is saying, come back to me. Come back to the calling. I'm still here. God's saying, Joshua, you blew it. You sinned and you paid a heavy price for that sin, the sin that was in the camp, but you are still my child. My word is still good. I'm still calling you back to a place where we first met. Come back to your calling. Come back to your faith. Oftentimes I see when disastrous things happen in the lives of people, there's usually only two ways and two paths that they can go. And I share this at most funerals that I perform because I've watched it over my years in life. When things get tough, people will either blame God and they'll be mad at God and they'll run away from God and they'll use whatever life situation has brought them pain to drive a wedge between them and their relationship with God and say, God, I didn't deserve this. I don't know how a loving God could do this. And they will run the opposite direction from God. Or there are people that say, God, I don't know why, but I'm running to you because my answer and my hope is still in you. See, you can run away from God or you can run to God. And in the midst of your pain, you can run away from God or you can run back to God. It's your choice. And God is telling Joshua, come back to me. You can always, always, always come back no matter how difficult and no matter how hard things get. On April 23rd, 1985, a day that will live in marketing infamy. It's funny because as I researched this, that was the title of the article I read. They used the word infamy, and I thought, the Lord is lining this up. Some of you will remember this. April 23rd, 1985, Coca-Cola changed their formula and introduced New Coke. Some of you will remember that that was the worst idea ever created in the history of man. It was terrible. And Coke's profits plummeted almost to the point of bankruptcy. 79 days later, Coke reintroduced their original formula, Coca-Cola Classic. It's back, baby. And the rest is history. Some of you younger generation have no idea what I just said. Some of us remember that marketing snafu when we're like, what on earth is this crud in a can? But the moral of the story is sometimes we get off track in lives. Sometimes we go our own way. Sometimes we do our own things. But it's never, ever, ever too late to come back to what God has called us to do. It's never too late to right the ship. It's never too late to come back to God. It doesn't matter if you've been away from God for 1 minute or 50 years. It's never, ever too late to come back to God. Come back to your calling. But God was just not saying, come back to your calling. God was also saying, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. He's saying, come back to your calling. But he was also saying, take the whole army with you. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. See, you have to commit 100% to overcoming your failure, which is the second lifeline that I want to talk about. You have to commit 100%. See, you can't go in halfway like you did before. Take the whole army and go back to Ai. And this is probably one of the most difficult points of this whole story that I think people like me struggle with, and hopefully people like you, so I don't feel like I'm on an island. But when I have a moment of failure and I have a moment of devastation, a place where I'm embarrassed, a place where I was discouraged, a place that I was a failure, a place when I didn't receive a Band-Aid and I didn't receive stitches, a place where I came out of that on life support, the last thing that I want to do is go back to that place. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm like, no way, Jose. I want to put Ai in my rearview mirror and never, ever look back. See, Ai Ai's biblical name, if you do the research, and you translate it out, it means heap of ruins. And I'm in no hurry to go back to the heap of ruins. So it's ironic that the Lord chooses our place of recovery, our place of healing, our place of restoration, our place of our greatest embarrassment, to be the place where we suffered our greatest defeat. He's calling them back to Ai. See, if you never ever learn to go back and deal with your defeat, it will haunt you your entire life. You can't bury those things. I know you want to bury your addiction, but you're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. I know you want to bury the abuse that you suffered in the past, but you're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. I know it's easier to bury pain than it is to deal with it. But it will never heal until we go back and deal with it. God says, I want you to go back to your Ai. I want you to go back to the place of your defeat. I want you to go back to the place that brought you pain. I want you to go back to the place where you felt devastated. But I promise you, when you go back, it will be different this time around. Because we're going to do things differently. It will be different. See, the last time when you went your own way. This time around, I am sending you. The last time you went, you put in minimal effort. This time around, we're going full force. Last time, you were defeated. But this time, I said, I am going to deliver AI into your hands. See, not only do we have to come back to God, come back to our calling and commit 100%, but we need to carry God's blessings. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come back to the platform and just begin to play. And I'm going to start winding this down. And guys, I want you to really grasp this because this impacted me maybe the most in this study. Verse 2. The Lord says this. He said, I'm going to send you back to AI and you're going to take your full force. But verse 2, you shall do to AI and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Get this, church. Grasp this concept. You shall do to AI and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Now, to fully understand this, you have to understand what happened in Jericho. So you have to retrace your steps. And they marched around Jericho, and they won Jericho through a spiritual victory. It was a spiritual victory. And they took this great fortified stronghold of the enemy. And when they left, it was a pile of rubble. And everything in Jericho was destroyed. And Jericho represents the greatest victory that Israel ever had. And the Lord says, you shall do to Ai just what you did to Jericho. Think, Christian, think with me today. When was your greatest victory in Christ? Was it the moment that you first got saved? That moment when you realized God came in and set you free and washed your sin as white as snow? Maybe it was that moment when you received a healing, when doctors gave you this prognosis and they wrote you off, but yet God had other plans and God said, today is your day of healing. And maybe that's a day of victory for you. Maybe it was when you had a wayward child that was out doing his own thing and you prayed so long and you prayed so hard for him and they finally come back to Christ. They were the prodigal son that returned. And maybe that was a day of great rejoicing. That was a day of great victory. Maybe it was when you were so troubled and so upset and you had nowhere to turn, but God wrapped his loving arms around you and gave you peace and gave you strength and gave you comfort. When was your greatest moment in Christ? When was your greatest victory? Because the Lord says that same feeling, that same victory that you had on that day, I am going to give that to you on your worst day. I'm going to give that same victory that you had in Jericho when in that place of AI when you felt defeated and you felt depleted like you messed up and you couldn't recover from. I am going to give you that victory here in this place. Defeat does not mean defeated. And I want you to know today, church, this is what God says, and this is awesome. He says, I am going to give you AI. I'm going to deliver AI and its king into your hands. You're going to do just like you did to Jericho and its king. Accept this one fact. Accept you may carry all of their plunder and livestock for yourselves. You see, the blessings that you tried to carry by your own strength, the ones that Achan took that he wasn't supposed to, God says, when you do it my way, I'm going to give that to you. And so many times when we're in a place of AI and we're feeling defeat, we're trying to attain God's blessings by doing things our way. When all along God says, you know what? You just need to yield and you need to listen to my voice and you need to do things the way that I am laying out. And when you do, you're going to achieve victory in your place of defeat. And all of the things that you tried to gather, all the blessings that you tried to get on your own, all the peace of mind, all of the strength that you tried to get on your own accord, I am going to give that to you. Would you bow your heads with me today, church, because I believe God is speaking to someone in this place. Because so many times we've tried to fill that void in our heart with so many illegitimate ways. And sometimes we felt beat up and we felt depleted and we felt like a failure. God says, you know what? Just because you feel defeat, my child, doesn't mean you're defeated. It doesn't mean that the war is over. It doesn't mean that I've written you off. You are still my child. You can still come back to me. You can still live under the goodness and the grace that I provided for you. And if you're here today with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, as we just focus on the word of the Lord. Maybe you came into this place. I don't know your situations. I don't know where you're at, but maybe you came into this place with a heavy heart because you felt like, I don't even know how to move on. I don't know what to do. I don't know what steps to take. The burden that I carry, the weight that I've carried, because I've been defeated. I've struggled. I feel depleted in my spirit. You know, maybe you came in today that way, but you do not have to leave that way. God has something greater for you. God has something greater for you. I'm going to challenge you to come back. Come back to your calling. Come back to the things that God has put in your life. Come back to the things that you know are good. Come back to your faith. Come back to the Bible. Come back to prayer. Come back to the church. Come back to walking by faith and walking in obedience. Come back to listening to the voice of God. Because when we do those things, I promise you, the next time we face AI, the next time we see it, things will be different. Things will be different. The next time we go out into the world and we see the addiction and we see the struggle or we see the health issues or the financial burdens, it will be different. Because God's presence is going before us, delivering it into our hands before we even get there. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, I just need you to pray for me. I just want you to lift a hand just so I know who I'm praying for. If God has spoken to you today, would you just by way of affirmation lift a hand? Okay, you can put those hands down. Now, dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word because we know your word is true. God, we know that your word that you gave to Joshua is ever true in our own lives, God, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that just like you were with Moses, so you will be with us. God, that you will give us everywhere that our foot treads. God, we come back to you and we yield ourselves to you. Now, God, as we go out from this place, God, Lord, I pray for two things. God, would you help us to be strong And God, would you help us be courageous? Because the road sometimes, God, isn't easy. And the road sometimes is bumpy. And God, sometimes there's obstacles where we just stand there because we have no idea how we're going to face them or get around them or go over them. God, help us to be strong and help us to be courageous. Help us to be strong and be courageous. Lord, we pray those things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. I want you to know today, church, when you go out from this place, be strong and be courageous. You are not alone. There is a church that stands beside you. And if that is not big enough, guess who's standing behind us? The God of all gods, the King of all kings. Be strong and courageous. When you face your hardships, be strong and courageous. When you don't think you can go on, be strong and be courageous. Amen. Amen. You know what? God bless you guys. I want to remind everyone that concert this week, Saturday and Sunday, there's information there. There's also information on our website if you guys want to tune in there. Go in the grace of God this morning. Share some fellowship. But also, if you are interested in the Sight and Sound tour that we're going on to in November, a short informational meeting that'll take place right here in about 3 minutes, okay? So, and I promise won't last more than 10. So God bless you guys. You are dismissed today. God bless you.